stuff.
Right.
You know, I'm pretty basic as far as that.
Organ is an interesting instrument. Who would ever thought it could be the great jazz instrument it is?
Jimmy Smith.
Jimmy Smith, yeah. And then who's this new younger gentleman out of New York? What's his name? And he plays like he's been playing for 50 years, Mike.
Oh, wow.
What is his name? He plays the Hammond B3.
I don't know.
He's like 26. Oh, his dad played like in church weddings in Brooklyn. And now he's like the new, the son is like the new Jimmy Smith.
Wow. Well, this, my guy plays a Hammond B3.
And yeah.
It Bogart's half the van. They are some heavy thin. His is chopped. It's still 280 pounds.
You know, for a young person to play, want to play an organ, it's interesting because it isn't like a guitar you can, like, carry around.
No.
You know?
And then it's got this Leslie speaker. It's like a piece of furniture. I mean, it's quite a setup. Yeah. And him being a longshoreman, he's pretty set up as far as the muscles go to left that thing, man. I mean, it is something.
You know,
there's a sound, you know. You can't really get it on a synthesizer. You got to have – his is from 1965, and it's a happening sound. I got to say – yeah, I didn't have a lot of experience with the organ. Deep Purple had one. I'd hear it there, you know. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. In fact, people that they see me play now, and that's kind of a joke, you know, Emerson, Watt, and Pedro. And so I taught my guys an ELP song just so we can get in on the joke with them, you know. I actually saw ELP a bunch of times as a kid because one of my best friends loved that man.
Oh, okay.
So I actually saw them a few times, and but I never imagined making a band with an organ. But hey, here I'm.
I saw them at the California. Remember that California Jam, out in the desert.
Yeah, I was there.
I was there too. Yeah.
1974.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah. Cost $6.50. I took the bus from Pedro. It cost $2.20. And somebody told me, you know, I was only 16 years old at the time, and somebody told me, oh, it gets 150 degrees at night. In the desert. So I just brought this little blanket to sit on and a t-shirt. And I froze to death. I got there the night before. And I remember sleeping. I was only a few yards from the fence. And I'm freezing to death. And I bought a hot chocolate just to get warm, you know, wrapped around. I wrapped that little blankie around me. And somehow I conked out. I wake up to Rare Earth. That was the first band.
That's why Rare Earth was there, yeah.
At 9 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I discovered how I conked. Well, there was about 40 people laying on me with sleeping bags. I looked around. It was like 200,000 people.
No. Mike, whatever happened to Rare Earth, man?
I don't know. A lot of cowbell, huh?
Wow.
The drummer sang in that, man.
Yeah.
Get Ready was the big song.
Really Remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike Reddy and Celebrate was another big song.
Celebrate, yeah.
And then Earth, Wind, and Fire was on after them, and it must have been, it got to about 100 degrees.
Yeah.
At, what, 10 in the morning, and Earth, Wind, and Fire was wearing furs, boas, and stuff. These guys, but they were jamming. Black Oak, Arkansas, that was quite a gig, but I never went to another big gig because of that experience. All those people. There was no pissers, hardly.
Yeah.
They were lighting fire. There was no water, so they dropped water things on us, these plastic jugs.
Yeah.
And then people lit fires and burned all those things, and the smoke was choking everyone out.
Yeah. I remember that was the second time I did acid in my life. Up there, yeah, that was...
When I woke up, there was a guy next to me throwing up his brains, and his buddy was, like, trying to console him, saying, hold on for Emerson. I mean, this is like 8 in the morning, and he's telling him to hold on. You know, ELP was going to be the last band. And I remember when they went on, Keith Emerson twirled around on the piano.
Yeah. Was that pre-brain cell surgery?
I think it was... That was the tour for it, because they did a bunch of them songs.
Yeah. What are those guys doing now, Mike? Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
I heard Keith Emerson lives in Santa Monica.
Wow.
And he just did a reunion tour of the band he had before called The Nice.
Wow.
Where he just played organ.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. He's a California guy?
He's an Englishman.
Oh, okay.
But he's living out here.
Wow.
In fact, what I heard was somebody made him an... Harley motorcycle all painted up like the brain salad surgery, the album cover. And someone broke into the garage and stole his ELP motorcycle in Santa Monica.
I got that album.
Wow.
You got to get him to sign it for me. Listen, pronounce Sheila's last name. Not Sheila.
Carla.
Pronounce Carla's last name because I want to play a little of this.
Carla Bozulich, who's from San Pedro.
Okay.
She's wild. Great, great singer.
Okay, so let's go back and do a little Duke, and then we're going to fade into Carla Bozulich.
Right, with Nels Klein on guitar.
Okay.
He's an amazing musician.
Okay.
Carla. He's the guy I did the Contemplate in the Engine Room record with.
Yeah, Prince was
All right. Thank you.
Can I sleep in your arms tonight? It's so cold.
We're in the wee hours here at Kill Radio, and tell us about who we're listening to in the background now.
This is Carla Bozulich, native of San Pedro, California, but she lives in Eagle Rock these days with Nels Klein, and we're listening to her with Nels Klein playing live. She was just doing some stuff where she did her interpretation of Willie Nelson's Redhead Stranger. And she's quite an incredible and singular artist. I got to get up on this mic.
Yeah.
Gotta swallow it.
Tell us what you were telling about Willie Nelson. You were saying about
She played with him. He played with her.
Yeah, that was this. Willie Nelson singing. You did hear Willie Nelson singing with Carlo a few seconds ago.
Yeah, it's wild. It's a great cat.
And she was for a lot of, because this is, someone is pirating us in the, on the east side of Los Angeles, and she was with a band that was pretty famous over here on the east side called the
Geraldine Fibbers. Yeah. Before that, she was with Ethel Meatplow, and before that, she was in the Invisible Chains. Yeah. She's been in bands since she was a teenager.
Yeah. We got to get her down here in the studio.
Oh, yeah, she'd love to come.
Yeah, she's pretty close.
Yep.
You know. What else did you bring, Mike? We're gonna
we got some more of that train.
Some more of that interview?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go back into Carla, and then we're gonna go back into this interview with John Coltrane. And that's right, folks, you are listening to Mike Watt live in the studios of Kill Radio.
Kill Radio.
The Minuteman himself, Mike Watt. Okay, so let's go back into Carla. Pronounce her last name, I can never.
Bozilich.
Okay.
It's Yugoslav. We got a lot of Slavs in Pedro.
Okay.
In fact, I brought this for you. This is your CD. I'm
living by myself. I need someone to comfort me. Someone to tell. I'm sorry for the things I've done. I shame myself with lies. But soon these things are overcome. It can't be
around, under, over, something, you know, getting attention.
So then when he comes back to it, you know, you feel everything sucks in.
Yeah.
But usually I knew the tune, so I mean, it was all right. I knew the changes anyway, so we managed to come out to the end together anyway.
Which always helps.
Yeah, we managed to finish on time, you know. A lot of fun playing that way, though.
I can imagine.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So sometimes he would play, he would be playing off of changes, and I would be playing off the changes, you know? And he would be playing some other kind of off the changes from the type I'd be playing. And neither one of us playing the changes of the tune until we reach a certain spot, you know? And then we, if we get there together, we're lucky, you know? That's, and then Monk comes back in to save everybody. And nobody knows where he is. That's the impression a lot of people got anyway. You know, they say, man, how do you guys remember all that stuff? You know, we weren't really remembering much. Just the basic changes, and then everybody else just tried anything they wanted to try on it. So. And Monk, he's always doing something back there that sounds so mysterious. And it's not mysterious at all, you know, when you know what he's doing. Just like those little things, just like simple truth, you know, like he might take a chord, not a major chord, a minor chord, and leave the third out. Yet he says, this is a minor chord, man, you know. So you don't have a minor third in there, so you don't know what it is. You say, well, how do you know it's a minor chord? Well, that's what it is, a minor chord with the third out. When he feels with the ring for there, yeah. And when he plays the thing, man, it will just be in the right place and voice the right way to have that minor feel. Mm-hmm. But still, it's not a minor because there's no third, it's not there. Still things like that, you know.
Did he pull up on you actually working on the job, or had he done this before previously, maybe where he'd gotten up and left the piano and left you so to speak holding the bag?
Well, he just started right on the job.
He just started on the job? How did you feel about that when he first did it?
Well, I started looking around for him the first time he did it, but after that I got used to it, you know, and I just tried to hold up till he got back.
Why do you think he did it?
I don't know. He said he wanted to hear it, and he said he wanted to hear the band. Like, when he did that, he was an audience himself, and he was listening to the band. And then he come back, you know, he got something out of that thing.
I used to get the biggest kick out of the way he'd do this little shuffle dance on the side, you know?
Yeah, I wanted to see that myself, you know? I couldn't see
it. Did it ever occur to you to pull your horn away from your mouth and walk over and stand behind him and let me throw me off and let Wilbur and Shadow go?
Yeah, I should have done that, man. I wanted to see it myself. Like, it was so interesting. Everybody was talking about it. And every once in a while, I'd open up one eye and peep at it, you know. He was really enjoying it, you know. That's it. He was getting a big kick then.
I'm sure that he must have really enjoyed your playing, I know, because...
Well, he said he did, man.
I spoke to him once or twice, I know, and each time he'd say, like, yeah, he's the man.
I learned a lot with him. Learned, like, little things, you know, I learned to watch little things. No, he's just a good musician, man. You know, it's like if you work with a guy who watches the finer points of things, you know, it kind of helps you a little bit to try to watch the finer points sometimes.
Again, everybody, you're listening to an interview with John Coltrane that Mike brought up, and again, you're listening to an interview that that Mike did. And Mike didn't do an interview that Mike brought up.
I was only 1 year old at the time.
Yeah, yeah. But we're going to go back into that interview. It's an interview with John Coltrane that Mike Watt brought up into the studio, and he said he's going to leave it with me, which was a very cool, kind gesture.
Oh, no problem.
So, and then we're going to go out of that interview actually into Thelonious Monk. Train was talking about Monk. So let's go back into the interview. Okay, here. Let's see here. Let me see. And, okay, here we go.
Well, you want the whole string of it? If you can't like saying it. So, man, let's see. I know one thing is for sure and certain, you work with an awful lot of people.
Yeah, I did.
And it spread out over a pretty good span of time.
Yeah.
Well, like say for example, like you said, 14 years ago, 44 was when you first started playing.
Yeah.
Well, when did you have your first professional gig with anybody?
Well, I usually call my first professional job was a band from Indianapolis, led by Joe Webb. This was in 47.
Ray?
He's downstairs. Ray!
All right, I'll take
it
downstairs.
All right.
Big Negro was in this band, you know, Big Negro was in this band,
yeah.
I don't know what the heck we were, rhythm and blues or everything. I don't know what that band. Anyway, that band and King Kolax, you heard of Kolax, eh? Trouble. And Eddie Benson. Dizzy. Earl Bostic. Gay Cross.
I'm not familiar
with him. He's from Cleveland. He had a little band. He used to be with Lil Jordan one time in his band. He had a little band that was patterned after Lil's band. He sang and played something like that. And Daisy Me and the Hepcats.
Where's Lil?
Johnny Hodges.
You did work with Hodges?
Yeah.
What was this?
In 1953.
For how long?
7 months, I think.
Really? Who else was in the band?
Richard Powell on piano. And Lawrence Bryan. Emmett Berry. Edward Trevor, who was. And a guy named Jimmy Johnson on drums. Basically, I forgot his name.
That's surprising me. I had no idea that you ever worked with Hodgson.
Yeah? Sure, man.
I bet that was a real gas for you, wasn't it?
I enjoyed it. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah, we had some true music, you know. Lawrence Brown, I like him immensely, man.
No, you have never.
Great trombonist, you know?
Oh,
yeah.
Not
MVP. And his brother, he impressed me too. Johnny Hart is a
NWD.
And Earl Bostic is kind of tremendous too. I don't appreciate guys, men like Earl and after I heard Charlie Parker, you know, but Charlie, you know, he sweetened me so much, you know.
Well,
after I come out from under a little bit, you know, after I've been under a little bit, under a spell, then I could kind of listen to other people too. You know, when I play with these men, like that's why I learned a lot from. The main thing was trying to just see how things were, you know, see how a guy is who plays all together different, you know, you say, well, that's so-and-so, I know him anyway. The then you hear something else over that so-and-so, but he, yeah, I know him anyway. And then you sit down and maybe you can see where, try to see where they both came from. You know, and you find maybe they came out of the same tree somewhere along the line. And you know, so when I start looking at jazz like that too, you know, at it collectively, looking at the whole thing. And then after Johnny Hodges, it was Miles, that was the next one. Oh, with Jimmy Smith for about a couple of weeks before I went to Miles to August.
Yeah. He's tremendous.
Wow. I woke up in the middle of May, man, and he ended August.
You did that
very well. Yeah, man, it was cold, screaming at me.
You don't work with Bud Powell?
Well, I played with Bud. I know what it was. I played about it.
from Russia with love, I fly to you, much wiser since my goodbye to you. I've traveled the world to learn I must return from Russia with love. I've seen places